1320 WILS. My next guest, well, she was in college, just the second night of college. She gets raped by a fellow student, and what happens next is she goes on a journey, fled to the Mexican border, begins a 2,600-mile walk through the desert and the mountains all the way to Canada. We're now joined by Aspen Mattis. She's the author of the book Girl in the Woods, a memoir. Aspen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a very intense book. Even when you write about the actual rape, I mean, you're very descriptive, and it's really hard to read. What do you remember about going through that incident?
Yeah, so on my second day of my freshman year, before classes had begun, like before I'd removed my colorful construction paper name tag from my dorm room door, I was raped by another freshman, and I reported the rape to the college, and they encouraged me to go through an internal campus hearing with no police, no parents or lawyers present, and it was actually a conflict mediation. Like, they treated it like something we had both done wrong. And so, as if rape could be mediated.
And what came?
Like a playground site.
What came of that meeting, then?
So they found him to be innocent, which meant that they didn't believe me. And then the college moved him into my building. He had been in the other big freshman dorm on the other side of campus, and they moved him into Slocum, my dorm. On the floor above me, so I would see him all the time. And then I called campus housing and asked to be moved away, to be farther away from him. Mm-hmm. And they moved me off campus. So he was allowed to remain on campus, and I was sent off campus.
Wow.
And shortly after that, I dropped out and left and decided I couldn't stay there.
What was your family, your parents, how were they reacting to this incident?
Well, I mean, I think it was really hard for them because a rape is actually not only traumatic to the person it happens to, but also to the people who love you. Mm-hmm. And so in my mom's case, she was really devastated. She almost couldn't even talk about it.
About the rape itself. Now, what did she say when you tell her, "Hey, I'm leaving. I'm heading out"?
Oh my God, they were terribly worried. They thought, like, I must be unstable, and yet they were incredibly supportive in every in every way. Like, I flew to LA, and my dad met me at the airport in LA and drove me down to the Mexican border. And amid hills of dust, really, like along the corrugated metal border fence, he dropped me off with a little backpack, like a knapsack, and five large bottles of water and lots of candy.
And this is a trail that runs all the way to Canada, then?
Yes, it's a continuous footpath through the wilderness called the Pacific Crest Trail. It's absolutely mesmerizing to consider. It goes through California's Mojave Desert and the High Sierra Mountains and the volcano lands of Northern California, and then the volcano lands of Oregon and the Cascade Mountains through Oregon and Washington State to Canada. It's an unbreaking 2,650-mile footpath called the Pacific Crest Trail. I set out to walk the entire.
It's an incredible walk, too. It's all featured in Aspen Mattis's new book, Girl in the Woods, a memoir. Now, when your dad drops you off, then do you remember what was it that you thought was going to happen on this hike?
Well, I kind of thought that I was going to be alone for 6 months, which was just simply not the case. Like, I thought that, you know, I was like, good riddance to people. I just want to be alone in the wilderness. And that's what I thought I wanted. Like, to me, a desert wilderness sounded like the safest place. It was like kind of the opposite of like the frat culture of colleges. But in fact, I had fled the world of college where there are you know, equal parts boys and girls, into probably the only place in America where men multiply and women divide. And about 400 people attempt this walk each year, and for every one woman, there are nine men. So I fled the world into a world of men.
That's incredible. And what is it like? You're starting to take a hike, and you're alone in the wilderness, basically, and you're encountering all these men. How is that affecting you after the rape?
Well, it became like a very specific form of immersion therapy. Like, I was put in a position in which I needed to make my boundaries clear. And I learned again and again and again that if I said no or if I said I wasn't comfortable with something, people respected that. Mm-hmm. Like I learned that my voice was audible. And if I said that something, I didn't want to do something, people are basically good and kind. And again and again and again, I was in situations where someone easily could have hurt me and no one ever did. Mm-hmm. People were good. No. And it really renewed my faith.
How long did it take? Because it's 2,650 miles. How long did that take you to walk?
It took me 5.5 months of walking about an average of a marathon a day, about 26 miles a day on average with a backpack on. Amazing. Up and down desert mountains and then through the woods and then through granite mountains.
How close are you to not completing the walk?
Oh, my God, so close. Actually, that's a great question. So there's a very narrow weather window. You have to reach Canada before you're essentially snowed out. So before the first huge snow, you'll be trudging through snow. Mm-hmm. And you can't walk 26 miles in a day through the snow. It's just not like physically possible. Mm-hmm. So the day after I finished, snow poured down. No one after us finished. My group, my final few friends, and we were the last ones, and it was magic. It was just absolute magic.
So most of the time, were you actually walking with other people?
I was most of the time, but there was a huge chunk in the middle, which I call the 1,000 miles of solitude, from the summit of Mount Whitney, which is in central California, to Bend, Oregon, which is southern Oregon, about 1,000 trail miles. In which I walked almost exclusively alone.
Alone.
So it was two months.
What is that like to be alone for 2 months?
Oh my God, it was like a lot of things. It was time with myself and time with my thoughts. And really, when you're walking alone through the wilderness, there's nothing to do but get to know yourself and get to know what you want and to think about who you want to be and what. And what your dreams are and what your priorities are and what kind of a person you want to be from the place where the trail ends. Because the trail really is not a destination. Yeah. You know, from the place where the trail ends, you know, wherever you go, there you are. And it does end.
Life goes from there. Now, how much were you actually thinking about, well, you know, the rape itself and what you went through during your journey?
Yeah. I was constantly replaying the rape in my mind. It was more like the trail forced me to be an active agent in my body. Like, it forced me to physically, literally reclaim my strength and my power and to prove to myself again and again and again that I was strong enough to survive and that I was safe in the world and the body in which I must keep living. And so just by daily proving my strength to myself and showing that when I said something was not good for me, people would respect that and respect me. And by showing that I could take care of myself in this very hostile environment and I was competent and I was strong, earned my own respect.
Sounds like it was very empowering. Now, Aspen Mattis, the book Girl in the Woods. What did you do then after you completed this 2,600 mile plus trek?
Well, about 2,000 miles into the walk in the town of Bend, Oregon, I met a man who, it turned out, was also walking from Mexico to Canada, and he had started off at the Mexican border just 2 days after I had, and for about 3 months, we'd been trekking north in nearly perfect sync, about a day apart from each other, and in Bend, we finally met, and I thought he was super cute, and he thought it was super interesting, and we decided to finish the walk together, And from the place where the trail ended, we just didn't want to say goodbye. And a year from the day we met, we returned to the Cascade Mountains where we'd met, and we got married.
Okay, did you go back to school at some point? Or?
I'm about to return to school as a transfer student to Columbia University in New York in late August this year. I'll be a second semester sophomore, picking up where I left off at Columbia University.
Going to the Ivy Leagues. Well, what are you going to be majoring in?
I'm probably going to be majoring in philosophy.
And tell me this, Madison, if you had not taken this trip, this walk, other than meeting your husband, what do you think would have happened to you?
I think if I had stayed at Colorado College, which was really the alternative, I would have atrophied. I would have kind of like curled up into myself and forever distrusted people and never felt strong and never felt fully safe. It's kind of terrifying to not trust that you're safe, to feel like this is the body that I have, this is the world that I live in, and it's a dangerous and scary world, and it no longer feels that way to me.
I have to ask you, because we have a minute here, were you in touch with your parents during this walk, this 5.5 months?
I was, yes. They bought me a military-grade satellite phone, and I called them every single night.
They appreciated
every
that,
every night,
guessing.
I called them under the stars, and it was cool. And I would give my dad my GPS coordinates, and he would look at the map and see where I was on Google Earth, and it made them really, like, give him peace of mind.
Yeah, I can imagine, because, to just have their daughter alone out in the wilderness, that's quite a job. Look, we just really just scratched the surface here. The real tale of Aspen Mattis is in her new book, Girl in the Woods, a memoir, her 2,600-mile journey from the deserts of California all the way up to Canada. Aspen, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. It was great talking to you.
It was. And by the way, you can find her at aspen-mattis.com.